Hello, happy new year, and welcome to Meandering Design. Today, I actually want to talk about this new year. Did you make any New Year's resolutions? I didn't. I actually find they're too easy to break. Instead, this year I chose a theme for my life, and the word that will guide me through the year is love. It took a little while to settle on that. I started with focus and a couple other words, and then I really realized that I need to work on loving myself. I have some amazing friends and family, so I want to spend more time with them and be with my community. I want to really dedicate and love my work, which I'll admit, it's not too hard because I do love what I do, but there's all those other things you have to get done when you run a business that aren't as fun and sexy as interior design. So along with all those things, I'm also hopeful that I will find a man to love. I admit being in the dating world is a little challenging. I have a friend who did admit that she finds it fun when I'm dating because I have so many wonderful, wonderful stories. But anyways, I also wanted to say that over the years, I've used the hell yes principle for determining if it's something I want to do. So if it's something that I say hell yes to, that my soul kind of loves, then I'll do it. I also use that same principle when I'm buying things for, you know, either clothes or my home. You know, if it's a hell yes, I love it, then bring it into my home. If not, pass it up. I found that I was often saying things yes to things that I didn't really want to do or bringing something into my life that I was kind of meh about. So instead of automatically saying yes, I do a gut check. And if that yes is hell yes, then I'm in. If not, then I pass. So we all juggle a lot of things, and we shouldn't spend our time on things that don't give us a hell of a lot of pleasure and satisfaction. Which leads me to the focus of today's podcast, which is planning. Years ago, I didn't bother with having a physical day planner or planner because I had a calendar on my phone and a running to-do list also on my phone, usually, sometimes scraps of paper floating about the house. But I found that I was using a lot of mental energy just trying to keep up with what needed to be done. And I'm going to go off on a bit of a tangent here, but I think this is the one thing that wears women out. And I'm going to generalize a bit here too. So women tend to be the ones that are mentally responsible for the health and well-being of families. You know, we're the ones responsible for the household, deciding what's for dinner, making sure everyone gets to their activities on time, that the doctor and dentist and eye doctor appointments are made, that there's toilet paper in the house, and the list goes on. So I'm not sure if I have the answer to this problem, but I do think that some families effectively use a family calendar and that there are apps that can help you automate things like adding toilet paper to the grocery list. So look at ways you could use technology to help you push some of those tasks, you know, that suck your mental energy off of your plate. I'd also challenge you to delegate, which as a recovering control freak, I understand that's really hard to do, especially if you like things done a certain way, or you're afraid that the person you delegate to isn't going to get it done, and that might involve picking the kid up from school and you don't want your kid waiting at school. So I totally understand this is hard to do, but at a certain point you do have to let go. So find ways to get all that mental to-do list running through your head out of your head so you have room for things that you want to do, and also try to delegate some of those things. And that brings me back to planning. So I use a mix of paper and electronic tools for planning. Initially, I had a great app on my phone called Things, which I do still use sometimes for a kind of like a running to-do list. But I also find that when I put pen to paper, I process and I think it through a little bit better. Last year, I used Danielle Laporte's planner called What Will I Do to Feel the Way I Want to Feel, which had a great format for prompting you to think about, well, how you wanted to feel and what top three things you needed to get done for that day, along with a section for a longer to-do list. And my favorite was a spot where you could write what you were grateful for. Overall, I really love this planner, and the only problem was it had a calendar section, which I really don't use because I used the calendar on my phone, and it was just a bit too big, so I didn't carry it with me. This year, I started out with a planner called Rituals for Living, which had some similarities to the Laporte planner, but it also had an amazing section that at the beginning that helped you determine your goals for the year, looking at your spiritual health and your living goals, and then plot them out so you get things done. The drawback to this planner that it's only Monday through Saturday. Here it is Sunday, and I'm recording this podcast, so I need the full week planner. And it's a bit too small to write in, and it's missing a daily to-do list, which really helps me focus. And I'll give a couple options for planners towards the end of this podcast. So why am I rambling on about planners? Because using these two planners helped me see what it is I need to help me focus and get shit done. I need a space that helps me mentally and emotionally connect. I need to set my intentions for the day and list what I'm grateful for. Sometimes my intention is simply to be present, to be kind to myself, or to go out and kick some ass that day. I've also found that over the years, expressing gratitude takes me out of my head and it makes me aware of how much awesomeness I have in my life. Plus, there have been so many studies that show gratitude helps people be happier, more empathetic, and improve self-esteem, and the list goes on. It takes about a minute, so we can all take a minute to improve our lives. So think about adding a daily gratitude practice to your life. This year, I did not make a New Year's resolution, but I did sit down and focus on what I want to get done this year and also how I want to feel. As I mentioned, the Rituals for Living Planner has a great section to do this, but I also recommend listening to episode 61 of Tara Gentile's podcast. It's called Profit Power Pursuit, and it's a podcast for creative entrepreneurs, which may not, suit everybody, but it's great because in this episode, she talks about this backward planning, and I found it really helpful. I'll link to the episode in the show notes, which you can find at meanderingdesign.com/podcast. When I was looking at my planning for this year, I was focused on my home, my health and well-being, my personal projects, and my business or work projects. You may not want to add work projects to your daily list. I kind of have, for my day job, I kind of have this separate planning there. But Meandering Design and I are so kind of intrinsically linked that I tend to plan those things together when I'm looking at my life planning. If you don't have work projects, you may have career planning that you want to do. So think about what your main focus or goals are for the year. I chose to look at my home because it impacts my daily well-being. So decluttering, having a place for everything, creating systems that help me navigate my day-to-day life, and making my home a haven are a priority for me. I'd kind of argue it should be a priority for everyone. And of course, I'm here to help if you need some help with that. So house projects and a plan to clear up some sticky spots in my home are important, and I need to put them in my planner. I also use Asana, which is a free project management system to help me track my home projects. I've created a house project within Asana, and then I add subsections for each room and then tasks for each room. That way I can pick one room to focus on at a time because I've found that I love to start projects and not finish them. So if I really focus in on one room and get it done, then I can move on to the next room and the things that have to be done there. So sadly, each room isn't a super sexy, fun decorating tasks. You know, some of the tasks are things like sand the table, fix the broken curtain rod, and all these other things. So I also, when I'm going through and looking at my house, I'm not just looking at the pretty things that need to be done, which, believe me, I love those, but all of the little broken things in our home that we tend to ignore. So make sure those get added to your list. I found that Asana and Trello, which is also another kind of cool project management system, are great for specific projects, and I'll link to both of those in the show notes. You can create a project, list all of the things to do, and even assign end dates for those things. They'll email you when the end date is coming up, so you can make sure you get these things done. It's one of those programs that helps me dump all the mental clutter out of my head into a place where I know it's being tracked. The other area that I'm focusing on this year really is self-care. I don't like to call it self-improvement or, you know, exercise plan, but that's just me. For me, self-care is going to see the therapist, especially if I'm going through a rough patch. It's taking my vitamins, making sure I reach out to people because I can tend to be a hermit, taking naps, going for walks, reading books, traveling. I'm supposed to meditate daily, so that has to be in my planner. I need that daily reminder. I'm also one of those people who really likes to check the box when things are done, so I write it down so I get it done. Doing yoga, not overbooking myself, and making time to play. I'm reading a great book by Jonathan Fields. He has a website called The Good Life Project, and he's done tons and tons of interviews with people asking him the question, how do you live a good life? So I highly recommend that. And he's recently taken sort of the culmination of all those interviews and written a book called How to Live a Good Life. And he talks about the need to make sure that we have these three life buckets full. And he focuses on vitality, connection, and contribution. He talks a lot about making sure we're doing meaningful work, which I kind of appreciate. But anyways, when he talks about the vitality bucket, he talks about the feelings we have when we are in an optimal health, because our mind and bodies are so intertwined that we need to focus on both in order to be healthy. Excuse me. I've definitely noticed that when I feel physically strong, when I'm moving my body, that I feel more powerful and a lot less anxious. In the new year, a lot of people jump into exercise programs, and hey, guess what? They tend not to finish them. You'll notice the gyms are full in January, and then by February, March, it kind of tapers off. So my guess is it's partly because they're focusing only on the one part of their lives and ignoring the rest. I'll admit that I've been struggling with a pretty severe bout of depression over the last year or so, and exercise has gone out the window. But I'm slowly adding it back in. But instead of focusing on joining a gym or, you know, doing a very specific regimented program, I'm trying to find ways to move my body that make me happy and become part of my daily life instead of a chore that I have to do. The other thing I wanted to add back into my life is play. It's something I realized I'd left out of my life over the last year. And play is different for all people. You know, for me, it's taking a pottery class or baking bread or puttering around my home and moving plants and decor and furniture around. That makes me happy. You know, for one of my friends, play is going to Disney each winter and running a bunch of marathons, which sounds like hell to me, but makes him happy. You know, some people do improv or storytelling. Some people do art. Some people color. You may not know what play is for you, and that's okay. You know, we keep being told to do what we're passionate about, but you may not know what that is. Just start by looking for events or classes that look interesting to you, and you never know what might spark your interest. I read the book Designing Your Life, which I highly recommend if you're trying to figure out what it is you want to do with your life. And they told a story of a woman who had a great career and ended up going to an exercise class. I can't remember if it was SoulCycle or yoga, but something she really, really started to buy into. And she loved it so much that she ended up becoming a teacher and completely changed careers when she hadn't been looking to do so. Exploration can take you places. It sounds ridiculous, but make sure you plan for play. If you don't add it to your calendar or to your to-do list, it probably won't happen. My final area of planning was meandering design. I looked at the big projects I wanted to accomplish this year, and then working backwards, I broke out the tasks and added those to a quarterly calendar, which I further break out to the things to do and add them to my weekly calendar. This is something I actually did for all the areas of my life. It's a little easier when you have specific projects, something kind of open-ended like self-care is a little bit more challenging, but you can still make that a goal and add the tasks and things that need to happen to move that forward. I think sometimes that we come up with really big goals, but we get stuck because they're so big. I had a wonderful professor once who told us to make big, hairy, audacious goals. And I have a couple of those huge goals this year and in my life that kind of scare me, but in a good way. And I'm going to use running a marathon as an example of how to kind of set these goals and look at it as an overall project. So imagine you haven't run in years or ever, but you remember how wonderful you felt when you were running or doing exercise. There's no argument that exercise is good for you and an amazing way to help with stress. It's sometimes hard to add it to our lives, though. So you decide you're going to run a marathon. Well, now go run. How far do you think you're going to get? Let's say you want to run a half marathon in June. So now you have a specific end goal and time in sight, an actionable goal that gives you 6 months to get ready. So planning backwards, you may set certain goals for yourself for each month. You know, if you haven't had any movement or exercise, you may just take January simply to walk for an hour 3 days a week. By February, you could start adding some intervals in and start jogging. Every month, you keep upping those jogging intervals. And then in April, you decide to run a 5K so you can get a feel for what running is like. You keep increasing the distance you can jog until finally you're up to a half marathon. So yay, go you! When you're faced with a big goal, break it up into mini goals by quarter. And break out your monthly goals. Then plan out each week's, and I'm going back to that running example, so plan out each week's running schedule and add it to your calendar along with the amount of time and distance you'll run. Compare that to a New Year's resolution, I'm going to exercise. And I think that's why resolutions fail. You need to have a plan. There's a ton of planners out there, but if you're like me and you can't find one that quite fits you, then try using the bullet journal. You don't even have to buy the bullet journal, and I'm well linked to this in the show notes. Almost any journal can do, but it's a great way that lets you create a system that you can tailor it to your needs. I'll also include a couple of resources on how to bullet journal in the show notes. So you don't need to limit yourself this year. If you have a super big goal that may take a few years, then do the same. I meant to say you don't need to limit yourself to just doing it for 1 year. If you have a super big goal that may take a few years, then do the same thing, but you just have to add a couple of more quarters of the year to the process. You know, I know we're already a week or so into the new year, and if you set a resolution, then awesome. Go plan it out. If you haven't, then think about the things you want to accomplish for yourself this year. It's okay to daydream, but then you need to take those dreams and make them actionable items. And if you find a planner you love, please let me know which one. I'd also like to add, if you are in Chicago, I teach a class called Life Redesigned, which will help you clear the emotional and physical clutter, get clear on your goals and priorities, and help you create the space to support what it is you want to do. You can find out more at meanderingdesign.com/classes. Thanks so much for listening, and if you liked this podcast, share it with someone else or leave a review in iTunes. It's a great way for other people to find this podcast. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.